In the realm of dark romance novels, haunted love has emerged as a sensation, captivating readers with its exploration of forbidden desire and sexual awakening. This brother's best friend romance, with its age gap dynamic, has resonated deeply with readers seeking stories that push boundaries while maintaining emotional depth. The book has gained a cult following on BookTok, with readers praising author Sheridan Ann's ability to balance explicit content with genuine character development. Even celebrities like Megan Fox have been spotted with the novel, cementing its status as more than just another steamy read, but a cultural phenomenon that explores the complexity of desire, consent, and the courage to pursue love against all odds. 22-year-old college senior Aspen Ryder has always been the good girl, a virgin who spends Friday nights alone with ice cream and her Grinch pajamas while harboring a years-long crush on her brother's untouchable best friend, Isaac Banks. When her adventurous best friend, Bex, convinces her to visit an exclusive sex club called Vixen, Aspen makes a life-changing decision to shed her innocent image by offering her virginity to a mysterious stranger in a dark room. The club operates on a sophisticated wristband system, white for virginity, red for private encounters, green for exhibitionism, and violet for group activities, all designed to ensure consent remains paramount. After choosing white and red bands and receiving VIP access marked by gold moth stamps, Aspen enters a world of raw sensuality unlike anything she's experienced before. In the darkness of a private room, she surrenders to a tall, muscular stranger whose skilled touch and pierced anatomy drive her to heights of pleasure she never imagined possible. Their encounter is intense, passionate, and transformative, leaving Aspen feeling changed in ways she couldn't have anticipated. What she doesn't realize is that her perfect stranger isn't a stranger at all, but the very man she's been fantasizing about for years. The next morning, still reeling from her experience, Aspen finds herself rushing to her mother's 60th birthday lunch, where she'll come face to face with Isaac Banks, unaware that he was her partner in the darkness just hours before. For Aspen, loving Isaac has been a constant in her life, not some fleeting crush, but a deep, persistent love she's carried since childhood. During her mother's birthday celebration, she finally admits this painful truth. "I've been deeply in love with him since before I can remember, and I don't know how to make it stop." The confession brings no relief, only the continued ache of wanting someone she believes will never see her as more than his best friend's little sister. Meanwhile, Isaac struggles with his own conflicted feelings. Though the Ryder family has given him the warmth his wealthy adoptive parents never provided, his loyalty to Austin has always kept Aspen firmly in the off-limits category. Despite noticing her beauty and the strange new confidence she exudes, he maintains his boundaries, or tries to. The tension escalates when Angela Ryder notices what appears to be a nightclub stamp on Aspen's wrist, one Isaac immediately recognizes as the Gold Moth from Vixen, the exclusive underground sex club he secretly owns. Both Isaac and Austin are horrified, knowing exactly what kind of establishment it is, while Aspen casually dismisses it as just one of those nightclub stamps. This discovery sets in motion a protective response from both men, with Austin demanding Isaac scrub security footage and ban Aspen from the club. For Isaac, the situation becomes even more complicated as he begins to suspect the unthinkable, that the virgin he encountered in the private room might have been Aspen herself. After an unexpected encounter at his establishment, Isaac struggles with intense remorse and persistent questions about Aspen's presence there. His composure wavers under the burden of concealing significant information from someone he deeply cares for. His typically measured demeanor begins to falter as he reflects on that evening's events, questioning how their established boundaries became compromised. Following an evening at their mutual workplace, a pivotal moment occurs at the Ryder residence. Years of unaddressed emotional tension surface through an increasingly intimate digital exchange. Their messages progress from casual to profound, revealing long-held feelings neither had previously acknowledged. Each response pushes them further from their established dynamic, making it impossible to maintain their previous relationship. The next morning brings palpable discomfort to their usual shared breakfast. When Isaac raises questions about certain identifiers he noticed at his establishment, Aspen responds with unexpected candor. She reveals a startling truth. Their proximity has led to unintended awareness of private moments over several years, beginning in her adolescence. Her disclosure combines innocence with maturity, challenging his long-held perspective of their relationship. Isaac responds with equal directness, his tone carrying new significance as he addresses her with newfound confidence. The situation reaches a critical point when Aspen returns to the establishment alone, seeking to reconnect with someone she met previously. In a private setting, she experiences a profound connection, only to discover a devastating truth. Her trusted confidant has concealed his identity during their encounters. The revelation that he orchestrated these situations while withholding crucial information represents a serious breach of trust. The aftermath proves catastrophic for their relationship. Aspen struggles to process this profound betrayal from her most trusted friend. Through tears, she expresses her deep hurt and sense of betrayal. Their parting is marked by raw emotion as Isaac departs, unable to justify his choices or mend the damage. Their bond, built on years of friendship, trust, and unspoken affection, collapses under the weight of concealment and betrayal, destroying any potential for a deeper connection before it could properly develop. After 3 weeks of complete silence, blocked calls, ignored texts, and social media barriers, Isaac finds himself at his breaking point, desperate to repair the damage he's caused. When Austin, still unaware of the true depth of their conflict, sends Isaac to check on Aspen, it creates the confrontation they've both been avoiding. Standing at her doorstep, Isaac comes face to face with not just Aspen, but the weight of his actions and the pain reflected in her eyes. What follows is unexpected. Aspen presents a proposition that catches Isaac completely off guard. She wants him to become her sexual mentor, to teach her everything about desire, pleasure, and her own body's responses. Her terms are clinical, almost businesslike. This arrangement would be strictly physical, with no emotional entanglements or romantic complications. She frames it as an educational experience, a way to reclaim her sexuality on her own terms. Despite every instinct warning him about the potential fallout, Isaac finds himself agreeing, though he establishes his own set of protective boundaries. No kissing on the lips, too intimate. No overnight stays, too domestic. No post-encounter cuddling, too emotional. And absolute exclusivity during their arrangement. Their physical chemistry proves explosive, even more intense than before. But the aftermath reveals the flaws in their carefully constructed arrangement. After one particularly passionate encounter, when Isaac maintains his emotional distance, Aspen confronts him about his cold post-intimacy behavior, accusing him of treating her like a second-class whore. This leads to a raw, honest conversation about their needs and boundaries, resulting in additional rules, including limited eye contact during intimate moments when the connection becomes overwhelmingly intense for Aspen. Despite recognizing the growing complications, they rationalize continuing their arrangement, telling themselves they've already crossed too many lines to turn back now. The fragile balance of their arrangement faces its first major test during Austin's birthday celebration at Cherry, one of Isaac's upscale nightclubs. The evening becomes a powder keg of suppressed emotions when other men begin showing interest in Aspen. Isaac's carefully maintained control shatters when he spots a patron making unwanted advances toward her. His response is immediate and violent, ending with a punch that sends the offender sprawling. The adrenaline and possessiveness of the moment culminates in a reckless encounter in Isaac's office, breaking both company policy and their own carefully established rules. As they cross yet another line, the distinction between their physical arrangement and their emotional connection becomes increasingly blurred, setting the stage for even more complicated territory ahead. The turning point comes when Aspen directly asks Isaac the question that's been haunting her: "Are you ever going to love me?" His devastating answer, "No, Aspen, I can't, I won't," shatters her completely. She tells him not to call again and attempts to move on, accepting a date with another man. When Isaac discovers she's planning to date someone else, he's consumed with jealousy, despite having no right to feel that way after rejecting her. Their confrontation escalates when Aspen calls him out on his contradictory behavior, claiming he doesn't want her while acting possessively. She ends their arrangement, telling him she can't keep being his emotional punching bag when she has real feelings and he doesn't. Later that night, after drinking with Bex, Aspen finds herself being stalked while walking home alone. In her moment of terror, hiding in bushes outside a stranger's house, she calls Isaac for help. As he races to find her, he finally confesses his true feelings, how he fights with her because he thinks he's not good enough, how he wants to protect her, how what started as just sex has become so much more. After rescuing Aspen and taking her to his home, she confronts him about his contradictory behavior, rescuing her, getting jealous, holding her hand, sitting at her door for hours while insisting he feels nothing. Tearfully, she declares she loves him and begs him to admit he loves her too. Though he tries to deflect, claiming he can't love her and doesn't know how, she calls him out, insisting he's been showing love through his actions all along. When she demands he kiss her, breaking their most fundamental rule, he finally gives in. The kiss shatters his control completely, leading to a night of passionate lovemaking that breaks all their rules and establishes a new level of intimacy between them. Just as Isaac and Aspen begin to embrace their relationship, they face the obstacle they both dreaded, Austin's reaction. The discovery happens on a quiet Sunday afternoon when Austin unexpectedly returns home early from basketball practice. Finding them together in Aspen's bedroom, his fury erupts into violence. The brothers' fight turns brutally physical, years of unspoken tension exploding as Austin throws the first punch. Fists connect with jaws, furniture crashes, and their parents rush upstairs to find their sons locked in combat. When they finally separate them, Austin's face is a mask of betrayal as he declares Isaac dead to him before storming out, leaving behind a shattered family dynamic. The following 2 weeks become an exercise in painful silence. Both Austin and Isaac completely shut Aspen out. No texts, no calls, no acknowledgement at school. The hallways become a maze of awkward encounters and averted gazes. When Aspen finally corners Austin in the school parking lot, his cruelty cuts deeper than she expected. He systematically dismantles her faith in Isaac, drawing on years of witnessing his brother's relationship patterns. "He's incapable of love," Austin spits out, recounting a litany of Isaac's past conquests. "You're just another name on his list, and you destroyed our friendship for it." His final blow lands hardest. If he really loves you, then where is he? Austin presents her with an ultimatum: end things with Isaac if she wants any semblance of their friendship to survive. Desperate for answers, Aspen tracks down Isaac at their spot by the lake, expecting him to end things. Instead, he pulls her into his arms with a desperation that speaks volumes. His confession comes in broken whispers. He doesn't want to lose her, but the weight of family loyalty bears down heavily. He can't move forward without Austin's blessing, something they both recognize may never come. The pain in his eyes matches the tremor in his voice as he explains how he's torn between his brother and the first real love he's ever known. Despite Aspen's tearful insistence that she knows he loves her, that they can find a way through this together, Isaac forces himself to push her away. "You deserve someone who can give you everything," he tells her, his voice rough with emotion. "Someone who won't make you choose between love and family. Someone who can give you the happy ending you deserve." His words hang in the air between them, heavy with finality and unspoken regret. A week after their heart-wrenching separation, Aspen discovers through mutual friends that Austin intends to confront Isaac at Vixen, the notorious biker club hangout. The news sends her into an emotional spiral, and during a wine-soaked evening with Bex, they devise what seems like a brilliant plan through alcohol-tinted logic. They'll go to Vixen themselves, ostensibly to witness the confrontation, but Aspen's true motivation runs deeper. She wants to make Isaac burn with jealousy by flirting with other men, a desperate attempt to prove she isn't sitting at home pining for him. The evening at Vixen starts with nervous energy and false bravado. Aspen draws attention in her carefully chosen outfit, accepting drinks and dance offers from various club members. However, the situation takes a sinister turn when Riot, a predatory club member about whom Isaac had previously warned her, isolates her from the crowd. Using the pretense of showing her something important about Isaac, he lures her into a secluded area of the club. What follows is a horrifying sequence where Aspen finds herself trapped in a nightmare scenario. When Riot attempts to sexually assault her, Aspen's survival instincts kick in. The ensuing struggle ends with Riot dead, a justified act of self-defense that nevertheless leaves Aspen traumatized and forever changed. In the chaotic aftermath, Isaac finally breaks his silence about the past week. He reveals the extent of his fight for their relationship, multiple arrests for trespassing while attempting to reason with Austin, a near miss when Austin deliberately swerved his truck toward him, and countless attempts to make peace that were met with hostility. His voice breaking with emotion, Isaac confesses that he's done playing by Austin's rules. He paints a future for them, a home they'll build together, children they'll raise, a life filled with love despite the odds against them. The confrontation between Isaac and Austin reaches its climax in the hospital waiting room, where Aspen recovers from her ordeal. Austin, still clinging to his protective stance, demands to know what kind of life a biker could provide for his sister. Isaac's response is both a declaration and an ultimatum. "I'm choosing Aspen, even if it costs our 25-year friendship. The question is, are you willing to lose your sister to keep your pride?" His words, combined with the sobering reality of almost losing Aspen to violence, finally penetrate Austin's defensive walls. Though visibly struggling with the decision, Austin acknowledges that his sister's happiness must come before his own reservations. While he can't promise immediate warmth toward their relationship, he agrees to stop actively opposing it, a hard-won victory that opens the door to healing their fractured family dynamics. 3 months after their tumultuous journey, Aspen walks into the grand opening of Austin's dream restaurant, a sleek, upscale establishment named Aspen's, with Isaac's hand firmly clasped in hers. The gesture speaks volumes about how far they've come. Though tension still lingers between Austin and Isaac like a delicate thread ready to snap, they're making careful steps toward mending their friendship. Austin's slight nod to Isaac across the crowded dining room shows progress, however small, driven by their mutual love for Aspen. The restaurant buzzes with Chicago's elite, but Aspen and Isaac find intimacy in their corner booth. Over perfectly seared steaks and candlelight, Isaac finally shares the carefully guarded meaning behind his empire of clubs. Each name represents a chapter of their love story. Cherry, commemorating their first night together and her innocent trust in him. Pulse, echoing the racing heartbeat he felt whenever she entered a room. Scandal, embracing the forbidden nature of their initial attraction. And Vixen, celebrating the confident woman she became under his attention. His eyes sparkle as he reveals his latest acquisition will be Little Birdie, a callback to her nervous energy when they first met and the freedom she found in his arms. The revelation leaves Aspen breathless, realizing how deeply their story has been woven into the fabric of Chicago's nightlife. Outside, where the city lights paint the sidewalk in golden hues, she turns to him with mischief in her eyes. Her challenge comes naturally, a game at Vixen, where it all truly began. The stakes are playfully high, a puppy if she wins their seduction game, marriage if he does. Her confession that she's never wanted to lose so badly makes him pull her close, understanding the magnitude of what she's offering. Their journey from that first anonymous encounter in a dark room to this moment exemplifies how love can flourish in the most unexpected places. Through every obstacle, family disapproval, personal demons, society's judgment, and their own fears, they've emerged stronger. Their story proves that authentic connection can transform what begins as mere attraction into something profound and lasting. The shadows of their unconventional beginning haven't disappeared, but they've learned to dance with them, turning what once was forbidden into something beautiful and enduring. As they stand together under the Chicago sky, their future stretches before them, not despite their complicated past, but because of it. Their love story, immortalized in the names of Isaac's clubs across the city, stands as testimony that some risks are worth taking and some loves are worth fighting for, even when, especially when, they begin in the shadows. Throughout Haunted Love, the theme of haunted remains paramount, from the sophisticated wristband system at Vixen that clearly communicates boundaries through color coding to the nuanced ongoing negotiations between Aspen and Isaac about their arrangement. The club system allows patrons to indicate their comfort levels, green for open to interaction, yellow for careful approach, and red for strict boundaries. Even in their most passionate moments, consent is explicitly sought and given, with both characters demonstrating how to navigate desire while respecting boundaries. This attention to consent extends beyond physical intimacy to emotional boundaries, showing how healthy relationships require continuous communication and mutual respect. Aspen's journey represents a powerful exploration of female sexual empowerment. From her initial decision to shed her good girl image, cultivated through years of small-town expectations and family pressure, to her later proposition that Isaac teach her about her own body, she consistently takes ownership of her desires and sets her own boundaries. Rather than being portrayed as naive or corrupted, she's shown as a woman making conscious choices about her sexuality while navigating the emotional complexities that come with intimate relationships. Her transformation includes learning to vocalize her needs, understanding her own pleasure points, and recognizing that sexual autonomy is integral to personal growth. The novel challenges conventional narratives about virginity and experience, suggesting that sexual awakening can happen at any age and on one's own terms. Through Aspen's evolution from inexperienced virgin to confident woman who knows what she wants, readers witness a transformation that's as much about emotional growth as it is about physical pleasure. The story deliberately subverts traditional romance tropes, where virginity is treated as either a prize to be won or a burden to shed, instead presenting it as simply one part of a woman's sexual journey. The relationship between Aspen and Isaac demonstrates how sexual education can be both empowering and intimate when approached with respect and care. Their encounters are characterized by open communication, patient exploration, and mutual discovery, showing that even experienced partners can learn and grow together. The novel emphasizes that sexual confidence isn't about quantity of experiences, but about quality of connection and self-awareness. In the end, Haunted Love delivers a message that true intimacy requires vulnerability, honesty, and the courage to fight for what you want, even when it means breaking rules, confronting family expectations, and acknowledging the powerful emotions that make us human. Through carefully crafted scenes and character development, the story illustrates how sexual empowerment intertwines with emotional growth, self-discovery, and the courage to pursue authentic connections. It's a story that reminds us that sometimes the most haunting loves are the ones worth fighting for, no matter how forbidden they might seem or how much society might judge them.